lesson today. Father, it is good to be together. We thank you that Fishers of Men have just kind of tread the way today. They've kind of worshiped you. They've kind of led us into worship. They've let us see their hearts and your heart a little bit more. And God, we just pray that as our hearts are open these next few minutes, that you would do a work in us. We thank you for your word. We praise you for your word. What a difference it makes in our life. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that intercedes on our behalf when we don't understand stuff, when we're stupid, when we're dumb. He just makes a way where he does what he does. We love you. We praise your name. Let the things come out of my mouth that are supposed to and shut my mouth where they're not. In Jesus' name, amen. Questions we've been asking. Why did Jesus have to die? We answered that week one, about two or three weeks away. Then we talked about, does Jesus accept me? Is that something he does? Does he really accept me, or am I just kind of on his list and he kind of lets me in because, you know, what is that? What does all that mean? We talked about that last week. And today we're going to talk about, what does God want from me? What does God want from me? And I think this is an important lesson, and it's a lesson that I was taught this week, and I'll tell you a little bit about that here in just a second. We've been looking at Romans chapter 4. If you want to open up your Bibles, go ahead and do that. Romans 4. We're calling this series, as I said, Easter Questions. And one of the questions I think that comes on our mind, we're not even sure, is, what does God want from me? What's he want? And so I think it's important to not only answer that question, I believe it's to know the answer and to live it out on a daily basis. You know, the word faith and the word is a concept that's a good example for all of us. It's a good example because he wants, it's just such a perfect example of that he read us in the scripture, that he told us in the scripture of what faith is. And so let's start there. What is faith? Well, Hebrews says this, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Man, that is a mouthful. What a mouthful that is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, what we desire, but it's not there. It's not, we don't see it. And that's a tough thing to do. Because if you don't see it, you're going, well, show me. You know, we live in a time where everything says, show me, prove it. Make it right. Make it sure that it is what it says it is. And so I think that's a really good definition to talk about, because that's what Romans 4 talks about. It talks all about faith. And I want to start out with an old illustration I used to do in youth ministry all the time, talking about a chair. I would always use a chair to illustrate this. This is a flimsy little chair, and I weigh 286 pounds. So those of you that are wondering, and to sit my little butt down on this thing, it's an act of faith. It has four. One, two, three, four. Four little things here. And as you put those on the ground, you have to trust that chair is going to hold you up. And you have seen this, and you've been a part of this in your life before, where you look at a chair and you say, is that going to hold me? And that's what faith is. It's a trust that says, I'm willing to sit in the chair. I'm willing to sit in the chair. Do you think I am? I'm going to try it. Here we go. Come get me if I fall, okay? All right. It held. So I had faith in the chair, and the chair held me. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, a faith that holds you, a faith that you can look at and say, I trust that chair. That's who God is. That's who God is. He wants us to have that kind of faith. And we've been talking in Romans 4, and we've been talking all about this guy named Abraham. And Abraham is accredited as this man who has this incredible amount of faith. And so today we're going to go back into Romans 4, and then we're going to look at Genesis a little bit and look at this guy, Abraham's life, and see what God wanted from him and what God said about Abraham and his faith, and what an enormous faith that he had, even when the chair didn't seem like it was going to hold him. Even when the chair didn't seem like it was going to hold him. See, Abraham just didn't look at the chair. He sat in the chair. And he sat in the chair well. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to read this whole passage, but I want to look at 18 first, just to start out. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, it seemed impossible. He still believed. He believed. That's what was accredited to brother Abraham. It's important to see. And then it says in 16, we'll go back up to the top. It says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those that have faith in Abraham. He's the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Things that were not. That's a God that you serve. That's a God you serve. Things that were not. Things that were not. Let's move on. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham could not see that, church. He didn't know it. He looked at it, and God said these things to him, and that's all he saw was, what are you talking about, God? He said, it's so important. That what does God see in this faith that Abraham has? What do he see that we don't see? He said, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. But he didn't see it. He didn't see it. This is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. And so today I want to look at three pictures of Abraham and his faith, the faith that he had that sets him up to answer that question, what does God want from us? Obviously, he wants our faith. Obviously, he wants our trust. Obviously, he wants us to sit our high knees down in his chair. That's what he wants from us. That's imperative. That's where it begins. So we're going to look at these three pictures today about Abraham, Father Abraham, who had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. You've heard that song probably millions of times. I've done that song millions of times. It makes me throw up when I do it because I've done it so many times. I've been a youth pastor for so long. Oh, three pictures of Abraham and talking about his faith. Screen number one. Abraham had faith that God wanted us to use him. Abraham had faith that God wanted to use him. Back in Genesis chapter 12, 1 and 3, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God comes to Abraham and says, got a comfortable wife, Abraham, and I want you to pack up the family. I want you to pack up the minivan. I want you to pack up the U-Haul, and I want you to go to some place that you've never been before. Abraham says, okay. And the Bible says God accounted that to him. God saw the faith that Abraham had. He saw that heart of faith. And so I ask you this morning, as we start out this lesson, what has God been calling you to leave, to give up? What has God been calling you to leave, to give up? How about your stinking attitude? How about your attitude that just always, always, always is negative? Poor me. How about the fact that every time you look at something, you're just going, oh, why is it me? Why is it me? You get angry. And I thought about this lesson this week, and I was thinking, what do you want me to say that's going to make an impact on somebody's life this week? And God said, well, I'll show you. Jeff, you're a jerk. Let me just tell them about how you're a jerk. I said, okay, here I go. So Thursday, I went in to get cataract surgery. I was so mad. I didn't want to get cataract surgery. That means you're getting old. I'm sorry if you got cataract surgery. It means you're getting old. I was angry. I went to Florida, and I came back from Florida, and I couldn't read the signs, and I'm like, dang. I went to the doctor, and he said, you got cataracts. I said, oh, shoot. I went screaming, and I was sitting on the table. They were getting ready to sedate me, and I'm going, I just want to see. I just want to go. I don't want to be doing this. I want to be doing other stuff. God, stuff you want me to do, God. I want to get out there and do that. And all of a sudden, I start hearing this beep, 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 beep. It's my heart. My heart is going off the charts. And they said, you need to go to the hospital. I'm like, what? What do you mean? You got AFib, and we're in no way we're going to operate on you. I was so mad. What? And so they sent me to the hospital because I've had it before, and I had that ablation thing. Many of you probably had it, and I was even madder. I went to the hospital. I'm going through all these tests, and I go to my heart doctor, and my heart doctor, well, yeah, you got AFib, and we're going to have to do one of those ablations, go up through your you know, we're going to do this and going to open you up, and then, oh, my gosh. All Thursday, I was angry. I was angry at me. Then I got angry at God. Then I got angry. I'm like, what are you doing here, God? I'm in the prime of what I'm doing here. You got the church going. I want to do these things. I'm ready to go to camp. I'm ready to do stuff with kids. I'm ready. And now I got to do some stupid heart thing. I was so mad. And then Thursday night, God kind of got a hold of me and said, Jeff, you're a jerk. I found it. I found it. And I showed you what was going on. You probably would have had a stroke. You wouldn't have known it. You would have, because I wouldn't have. I've been sick. I've had all kinds of, like, pneumonia kind of things and everything. It's just the way it is. And I would have powered through it. God says, no, I wanted you to figure this out. See, I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but God did. He had faith. It wasn't my faith. My faith was about like this. My faith was, it was nothing. It was nothing. But Abraham had this incredible faith that says, even though I don't know what's out there, and even though I got all this stuff, and even though I got everything here, I'm willing to go. What a picture of faith. What's God asking you to give up today? What's he asking you to leave? The second picture that we see of Father Abraham is this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, he says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping and believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have, as many as the stars in the sky. Back in Genesis chapter 18, he communicates to Abraham, and within a year, he says, your wife will have a son. And Sarah overhears God communicating with us to Abraham, and Sarah laughs. And that's understandable because she's 89 freaking years old. The New Life Version Bible says it quite delicately. It says, the way of the woman had stopped for Sarah. Wink, wink. She was done. She was done. And later we learn this conversation, this promise, what is given. When she laughs, guess what the name Isaac means? It means she laughs. Did you know that? She laughs. So the whole time Isaac is made, she laughs because she didn't believe God. She didn't have the same faith, we'll see, on and on, as Abraham had. So if you think about it, God made him wait, and he made him wait and wait until the miracle. And the waiting only made the miracle that much more impressive. Let me get you this next verse and let this sink in. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though he's 100 years of old, his faith didn't weaken. Mine weakened very quickly. What are you doing, God? He figured his body was as good as dead, the Bible says. He figured his body was good as dead, and he knew that Sarah's womb had dried up, he even says. It was barren. That's a funny verse if you think about it. That's in the Bible, all right? Abraham is 100. Sarah is close to 90 years old. And I'm trying to picture they're sending out these invitations for a gender reveal party. Everybody show up at the nursing home, you know? Come on! Romans 4, verse 20. But Abraham never wavered in his belief in believing God's promise. The Bible says, in fact, it grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And it brought glory to God. Now, I don't think that means that he didn't have days of doubt. I don't think that means that he wasn't sitting there going, why, God? I guarantee he did. Because I'm going to show you what he did. And so, Sarah, as I said, Sarah's faith wasn't as strong as his. It never said Sarah had a strong faith. Sarah was kind of weak. I'm not saying that about all women. Okay, don't write me letters or come see me this week. He's saying Sarah's faith wasn't very strong, okay? God says you're going to be the father of a nation, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen through me. This is Sarah talking. So, hey, I got a good idea. Why don't you take my maidservant, Hagar, as your wife, and sleep with her, and so her family can come, and our family will go on. And Abraham says, okay. He doesn't say, I'll pray about it. He doesn't say, I'll get back to you. He says, okay. What? And he takes her to be his wife. He sleeps with Hagar. She becomes pregnant, gives him a son named Ishmael. Now, Abraham didn't have to do that. There was another way. Abraham could have said, you know what? I don't think that's what God's plan for me is, hon, but it's just to have one wife, but that's not what he said. Instead, he takes the hall pass, and Sarah gets mad at Hagar, and Hagar gets mad at Sarah, and here we are, 4,000. Listen to me. 4,000 years, their descendants are still bombing the crud out of each other. The Arabs and the Jews are sitting there just doing this day by day by day. Where did it start? It started because Abraham couldn't keep it together. Because Abraham couldn't keep it together. Today, you and I are experiencing the stuff that he did 4,000 years that Sarah and him cooked up. We got a better way, God. How many times have you done that? I'm looking at you. How many times have you done that? I know better than God. It's okay to live together. We love each other. It's okay to do that. Because, you know, it's okay. No, I know better than God. Woo! Woo! So what does God want from you? He wants your faith. He wants your trust. It's better than your agenda. Your trust in him is better than any agenda you think you can plan for your life. Because any agenda you got sitting out there on the shelf that has got anything to do that's not God-directed, it will be a failure. It will be a failure. And here's what I know today. There's people in this room right here that don't have a faith in God right now. You don't, you're going, I don't think I really believe in him. And you're coming and you're fake. You're faking it till you make it, some of you. Some of you are younger. And you're saying, I don't believe in God. I have no faith at all. And I got some good news for you here in just a minute. If I just pinged you, I want you to listen. Don't tune out, okay? It's very easy to tune out as I wind down here. Because church, those of us who have faith, we do not struggle as those who have no strength. We do not endure as those who have no peace. We do not suffer as those who have no joy. We do not fear as those that have no faith. Why? Because he is faithful. He is true. You can trust him. You are not alone. You are not alone. Romans 4:21 says, he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promises. Some of you are not fully convinced. And I understand that. And you're not bad for thinking that. You're not wrong for thinking that. But you better answer it pretty quick. You need to get to the point where you are fully convinced that God is who he says he is. Fully convinced in who Jesus is. Lastly, the last picture, and about done. The Bible says, number three, Abraham believed that God was more powerful than death. Follow me along on this, and then I'll close, I promise. Death is perhaps one of Satan's strongest tools in his toolbox. It's his arsenal of evil. But God is more powerful than death, and that's what Easter is all about, showing us that he overcame death. Back in Genesis 22, God's going to put Abraham to the test. God called, and he says, yes, here I am. He says, I want you to take your son, that son you've been waiting for, that miracle you've been waiting for, and I want you to take him on a mountain, and I want you to kill him. Sacrifice him. Go on that Mount Moriah. And Abraham said, okay. And he went on a 50-mile hike, and he took his servants, and they get to the bottom of the bottom of the mountain. And this kid that he has prayed for, this kid that is going to everything that's going to come through his household, is going up this hill, and he knows that God has asked him to kill this kid. And Isaac says, well, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, well, God will provide. And then the Bible says that this phrase that just kills me. It says, Abraham bound his son. I don't know how a 110-year-old guy bounds a 15, 16-year-old teenager. I don't know how that happens. It's one of the questions I might ask God. Did Isaac just lay down there and trust his father? Maybe he did. But how did that happen? He just laid there and let him bound him up because then he knows what's coming. And the Bible says that he pulls out that knife and he pulls it back to take and cut his heart to kill him. And all of a sudden, that angel of the Lord says, no, don't. I get it, Abraham. You have got all the faith it takes. You've got it all. There's nothing. You don't have to convince me anymore. Three pictures. I want you to understand how important this is, because I believe when he pulled back that, Abraham thought that if he killed his son, God would resurrect him from the dead. I believe that with all my heart. This was a long time before Jairus' daughter ever walked out of the tomb. This was way before Jesus ever thought about walking out of the tomb. Abraham had that kind of faith, and he knew nothing about resurrection. He didn't even hear about it. And he believed that God had that much power. He's willing to sacrifice his son. Romans chapter 4, verse 22 says this, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Right with God. So what does God want from me? More important than anything else, he wants us to be right with him. And the only way we do that, as Dave was saying, is have a faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have times of doubt, teenagers, college people, people who are going through hell right now. It doesn't mean you're not going to have some time of doubts. The psalmist says 20 times in the book of Psalms, 20 times he says, how long, oh God, how long? How long? So I want you to know, those of you that are asking, you're not alone. If you've never had any doubts in your faith, then I want to say this to you. I don't know if you've had much faith. I don't know if you had very much faith. So up on the screen, I think I put a couple things here that I want to highlight, and we'll go out with. Yep, keep going. Here's the good news of Easter. Even when we are faithless, listen, college kids, listen, high school kids that are in here today, listen, people that are going through hell, Even, here's the great news of Easter. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Isn't that something? We don't work like that, but he does. We don't work like that. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful. And maybe some of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I want you to know this, it only makes the miracle more special. You're waiting on your husband to come along. You're waiting on your wife. You're waiting on your kids. You're waiting on something. God is going to do a work in you. You have to have faith that God, if he did it for Abraham, you got to sit on the chair. You got to sit on the chair. In the waiting makes the miracle more powerful when it comes. Trust in a God who loved you so much that he took his only son and placed it on the altar of sacrifice, and he didn't stop it. Last one, I think I put it up there. What does God want from you? He wants to give your faith in him, give him your trust. One more, I think. Is it there? Or maybe go back. Or maybe I didn't put it. I maybe didn't put it. That's Charlie's sign, said you didn't put it, okay? He could have saved his son, listen. He could have saved his son, or he could have saved you, and he chose you. That better get you in the feels this Easter. Better get you in the feels. Let's pray as the band comes up, and we're gonna have our ministry time. And they're going to play a song. The lights are going to go down, and here's your place this morning. Your place is the right where you're at. It's just to do some business with God. I ask a couple questions. I ask you some questions about are you trusting God? Are you here today and you're faithless? Are you here today and you're going, I don't really believe this, but I'll keep putting one foot in front of the other. God is saying to you, hang on. Hang on. Begin to trust him little by little. He is worthy of your trust. He is worthy of your faith. Put your faith in him, and you will not fail. Let's pray. Father God.